been fine, but my wife's had things to them, and it's just it's a difficult thing that she's had to go through. She had to do all those things. After this, and Sandy had the surgery, we were really thankful for that, and then we got the bill for that, and it was I was expecting it to be about $35,000. That's what I expected, and I talked on the phone, and it was $72,000 was the bill, and I figured I was done. You know, we're gone. I'm through. I bought a house or something. I've got a services debt, and you know, guys have tried, but I got to get a job. We eventually went and we appealed, and the Lord was really good, and they forgave every single bit of the debt. So very thankful for that. Sandy's feeling much better now. She still has things within her, but she's doing really good, and we're so very thankful that she's doing a lot better. And but that held us back. That went from October to December to give her time to rest and recuperate so that she could move her neck and everything. So she could sleep. And, you know, everything just allows her to calm down. Well, January comes around. So, all right, well, I'll get started. Well, I contacted the guys at the ice skating rink, and they said, no, we're not going to do churches. Thank you. Goodbye. No. I said, well, that's okay. We'll go to the strip mall. That's good. Well, the strip mall is in transition from something to something, and so they're not doing anything, and they're not talking to anybody. Well, then I'm still not worried about it, because on the southeast side, there was like 12 places to rent. Well, I'll just call one of those. Well, no thank you. I'll check with the owner. That's okay. No thank you. No thank you. No thank you. And suddenly, I can't find a place. I mean, there's signs everywhere to lease, and you can't get in anywhere. I don't know whether it was the church. I don't know whether or not I wasn't Mormon. I don't know what it was, but just couldn't get in. So I started looking over the city. Now, I did a lot of work. Next slide. This is one of my wonderful charts. I've got many, many more if you would like to see them, that goes how I'm going through the state. Now, I can define all these terms for what this means. Cornerstone is another church. The red stars mean Baptist churches, et cetera, but I'm going through the whole city trying to find a place to rent, and it's amazing. I've got money. I would just like to rent a place, and people are saying no. Well, I actually had a real estate guy say, well, there's a church across the street. That should be enough, shouldn't it? And it amazed me that we weren't able to do that. So we kept on going, kept on trying. Everything was getting a little frustrating, and then of all places, I looked on Craigslist. I don't do anything on Craigslist. Craigslist is not something I do. And then we met this fine guy. There he goes, Chad Crocker, A-10 pilot and business renter. And he had a building available to us, and he would rent it to us. And next slide. That side. We rented that half of the building. Next slide, please. And we got it, and we ordered our chairs. We started getting everything ready. It's real life. It's a candid photo. We're able to rent the building. We're able to get the lease. We started getting chairs. We started building everything, getting everything ready. Next slide, please. Now, that's the Godez family. Now, that's our first family. They're with us from the very beginning. They were with us before we were technically renting the building. They were there, and they were there for the Bible studies in February. Now, the one thing about the Godez family is they couldn't meet on Wednesday. Now, there's something I want to stress here, something I really want to point out. I want to talk about your witness in Boise. Not my witness, not Sandy's witness, not Ashley's, not Doyce, but your specific witness in Idaho, what you have done. And the Godes family had us move to Thursday. Now, they're a wonderful family. That is Will, who is 6'8", McKaylee and Kim, and they're a wonderful family, and they join. They went with us to the Bible study. After that, we got the permit to meet there. We passed out a few thousand tracts to say, please come to our Sunday service. And the next slide, please. And from that, we met the Lowe family. That's Rob Lowe, Robin Lowe, Casey, Logan, and Kara. And they are a wonderful family. Now, the things neat about them is Rob and Robin are saved. And they were at a point in their life where they said, well, okay, Lord, we need to do something. We really do. But we work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, Lord, if you want me to do something, it's got to be on Thursday. Now, we've already moved to Thursday to facilitate the Godez family. So they're sitting there one day, and Pastor Umbler from Somerville Baptist Church came down there, and they put a little invitation on the door, and sure enough, they show up. A beautiful family, wonderful family. Logan, I know that y'all have seen that before. Logan is the guy that had the kidney transplant, and Miss Robin is the one that gave him to it. They started attending. They came, and we'll get more to that. But so they came, and then the next slide, please. Now this is what the inside looks. Just you can go through the next two. Pastor Crawford and Brother Kelly came down, helped us decorate everything. It looks wonderful. There's the pulpit. There's all the chairs, and there's that. It's a beautiful thing. Next one. And that was our big 39 day. That was a huge day. I was almost up there in tears. 39 people. It was loud music. No one could hear me sing. It was a beautiful, beautiful service. It really was. The church has been going really well. They've been both faithful families. We've had visitors. I passed out the prayer letter a few months about Logan. So Logan was going to and had to have a kidney transplant. Well, I thought it'd be a good idea if we would write them letters. They really haven't experienced what church is about. They haven't really seen what church is. They don't know what churches do. They don't know what people do, what we do for one another, the fact that we love, that we're a body fitted together, that we come together. Amen. So that they're about to go to Portland to get, you know, she's going to give a kidney to her son, and her son's going to do that. And Casey's lost. She's a very sweet young lady, but she's got, you know, well, church is, you know what Baptist people are like. You know, that's sort of her idea. I mean, she was there when I was preaching, and I could tell that she was there, but she wasn't. And then I give them the stack of cards. And, of course, you know, tears just pop right up in their eyes, just immediately. And, you know, Rob sees it and Robin sees it. So they're driving to Portland. Now, your witness in Idaho, they're sitting there driving to Portland to have surgery. And they're reading the love of God. And every time Robin gets one of these cards, she can't do it. So she hands it to Casey. This lost young lady with a perception of whatever Baptists are, and she reads what you guys have said. She reads these cards about how much they're praying for them, how much that you care for them, how much they love for them, and that you're giving that to Casey as you drive right up there. And you're going right up there. So I can't express how much I want to say thank you for doing that. And the next slide, please. I don't even know what it is. I think that's... Anyway, yep, that was it. I just want to say thank you so much. We're doing really well. We're in a spot that I don't know if I would have picked, but the Lord's placed us there. The Lord's, we've had visitors. Me and Sandy just bought a house. We're very thankful for that. We're not coming back. Love you guys, but that's the new home. That's where we are. We're going to go up there. We're all very excited, and just thank you so much for all that you've done. We're so thankful, so blessed to be out of this, so blessed to be from Heritage Baptist Church. When they came before, I said I was so thankful to be out of there. You know, yeah. So yeah. So I just wanted to correct that. So we're really thankful. Brother Jason, when he gets excited, he talks louder. When I get excited, I talk faster. So I'm working on it. I'm trying to slow myself down. So that's what I'm trying to do. So it's going well. It's going good. We've been there for 6 months. Just thank you so very much. Amen. Now, there's something I got to tell you about before I get started on the message. Now, Doyce wanted me to cover this. So it's not me. It's Doyce. So I apologize between Pastor and the men here. So Doyce's birthday came, and Miss Tanya, as she was, will always send us the mail. So Doyce received the mail. So I got the mail, and I'm opening up the mail, and said, "Oh, look, Doyce's birthday card." Well, Doyce opens up the birthday card, and he sees our support check within that. Well, the support check is written to Doyce Walton. And so he opens his birthday card with his check to Doyce Walton, and he says, "Daddy, you gotta look at this." He's under the thought that you guys now owe him a support check. Now, I'm out of that. I have now conveyed everything, so I'll let y'all guys. I just wanted to clarify that. I've taken care of that, Doyce, and so we're all good. Again, I can't tell you how much I love you guys and thank you so much. It's great to see everybody. You know, I'm looking at Kai right there. Kai, there he goes, right there. I remember when Brother Kelly came and knocked on my door that very, very first night, so many years ago. Man, it's amen. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. What do I preach? I don't know. That was difficult. It was hard. What do I preach to Heritage? What do I bring to Heritage? You know, I can bring a standard sermon, but I don't know what to preach. So I'm going to preach a very personal sermon. Now, when I say a personal sermon, I mean I'm talking about from me the things that I see, the things that come from me. I'm not you trying to apply this to anybody else. I'm trying to apply this to me. If there was a title, it would be Why Go? Why in the world would we want to be a church planner? My old perception of what pastors, missionaries, and church planners were guys who picked their professions. You know, I wanted to be a plumber, you're a plumber. I wanted to be a pastor, you're a pastor. You wanted to be a football player, you're a football player. That's what you pick, that's what you go through, that's your life, that's what you do. That's what I used to think that is. I picked being an engineer. That's what I picked, and I didn't understand the thing of the call of God. And so why would you be a church planner? I mean, what's the things that you get from a church planner? Could it be prestige? The respect of people? Everybody knows if I post anything on Facebook, it goes viral, and I easily get 7 to 8 likes. So you know how popular I am. So, you know, it could be that, you know. Might be money. I remember the first time I was at one of my jobs, I told somebody I was going to leave engineering and be a pastor. His comment was, wow, so you're going to be a not-for-profit preacher man. Yeah. With great love and admiration, he said that. You know, the money thing is, it's a weird thing. I was on a deputation. I had just gotten started. And you meet most missionaries, most church planners, they'll tell you they're at a percentage. We're at, you know, 5%, 20%, 95%. Well, I don't need to do that. Okay, I don't know what that world's about, but I can tell them what I'm raising. So I'm raising it at this church, and now I've raised $0. Now, anybody that's $0, I got no support. Just started, I don't know what I'm doing. So I have this one church, and they were saying, well, how much money are you planning to raise? And I told them, and it was done. You could feel the chill in the air, because apparently I was all about the money at that time. And I went, oh. And the pastor said, well, you know, in just... when a guy goes on deputation, he generally hopes for about $50 from the church. That's if you work 2,000, 80 hours a week, that's about 28 cents an hour. That's what you're looking for when you show up to church. And that's how you get rich, by 28 cents per hour. You know, it's not a matter of money. You're not trying to be fabulously wealthy. I'm not saying God won't provide you. He will absolutely provide for you. But it's not a sense of you're going to get lots of money. This is the one profession you don't leave for more money. You can be a pediatric oncologist and leave for money, and that's okay. But as soon as you hear a pastor, well, I left to get a 25% raise increase. Really? Well, that's odd. And you know it's odd. It sounds odd. Maybe it's for the power of being that's why you're a church planner, to be the power. Because, you know, pastor, as soon as he says jump, the deacons are all hovering in the air just saying, yes, sir, how high? And maybe it's that. Why to be a church planner? You know, everybody's different, you know. It could be for the bird, but maybe everybody's got. John Reed's got a burden. But John wants to see people saved, don't you, John? Now, are you going to go to Philadelphia to start a church? Why not? He's got a burden. He wants to see people saved. He should go tomorrow. But it's different than that. It's more than just a burden. It's more than just a thought. There's something. Why do you go? And for me, it's only because Christ asked me to, and that's it. There's no other reason for me to go. I mean, Boise. Who goes to Boise? So I'm going to explain. I'm going to go through. I'm going to talk about a person who God asked to go, and they went. So we're going to turn to Acts chapter 9 and start with verse 10, and we're going to go to 18. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. But Ananias went in his way, and entered in the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, and that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with me as we study your word. As we come to hear your word, I ask all things be done pleasing and honor to you, Lord. I thank you for the blessing to allow me to stand here. I thank you for the gifts to be able to speak your word, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit move within us in our hearts and our ears that we hear the truth that you want us to hear. In your Son's holy, precious, and wonderful name, Christ, we pray. Amen. Saul's sight was blinded by a light from heaven, and after seeing that, he's eventually going to do great things. We could talk about Saul and how he would become the Apostle Paul, and he'd write a huge section of the New Testament. He would become one of the greatest missionaries, and all the things that he had done. But what about Ananias? That's what I'm going to focus on tonight. I'm going to talk about Ananias. What of the men who go? Some seem destined for greatness, and some seem made for the great works of the Lord. I want to be one of those guys. Now, I don't hope it's not of a sense of pride, but I want to be the best I can for the Lord. I would love to be able to preach like Dr. Henderson. I would love to be able to have expositions like Brother Davidson. I would love to be able, the optimism of Pastor Crawford. I would love to have those things. But I'm me. Just I am me what I am. And God has called me. There are some men that seem perfect for the Lord. I mean, there's some people that you meet that go, wow, that guy is just perfect. I was on deputation, and a guy said, well, you know, there's a young guy up there starting a church. You need to go talk to him. And his suggestion was, I go talk to Kirk Kirkland. Now, everybody, I don't know if you've met Kirk Kirkland, but man, he is that guy. He's got that smile. He's got that energy. He's walking around. He is just, you know, you just want to be his friend. You want to be his buddy. He's talking to you. He can sing. He can talk. I am none of those things. I mumble. I can't sing. The guy was telling me to be go see Kirk Kirkland and give advice. Well, if I was going to the inner parts of Ohio, inner city of Ohio, yeah, it'd be a good idea, but I'm not. God's not called me to do that. You see some people, I went to a church planning conference one time, and there was another guy, and man, he was just going crazy. He was up there letting know what he was doing. He was very excited. Everybody was getting a hold of him. It was really emotional. Man, he raised $11,000 to his church plant. I mean, it was just amazing to hear that guy. I wanted to give him money. He was just incredible. And then you heard another guy. I'm going to Utah. You know, the need's really great there, and I just hope you pray for me. That was it. I mean, he raised $1,200. But God's not called him any less than the other guy. Yeah, the other guy's just amazing, but God still called him. God's put on his part. I remember one of the first times I talked about the call, and someone said, well, you know, not everybody's called to be a pastor. And that's true, but when you get the call, if God calls you, you certainly should go. In the same way, every one of us is sitting out here in church right now. Every one of us is sitting here, and there's a Bible in front of us. Everyone is sitting here, and the Word of God is before you, and you know the things God has told you to do. Everybody knows that. Everybody sees that. Everybody knows what is going on. We're talking about home missions now. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but it's a crazy world out there, and our priorities, our sense of focus, our who we are is Christ, and we need to propagate that. We need to send that forth. We need to know that we're going forth with the Word of God out there. That needs to be the thing cutting through the world out there, cutting through the technology, cutting through the air. Everybody needs to know that that is what we are about. That's what's going through. That's who we are. God gives you that. God gives us that. But in verse 10, it says, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and it said to him, the Lord envisioned Ananias. And so he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Now, who was Ananias? In Acts 22:12, it says, he was a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews. But why him? Was it because he was devout, having a good report? What was it that God called him? I don't know. I don't know why God did call him. But the one thing that he said is that I'm here. Matter of fact, if you look at the Greek word, which I'm not really getting into, but it's a shortened version that's just like a single word, just going, yes, Lord. And that's something that is just, we should always be there. You know, if the Lord ever talks to us in any way, yes, Lord. Just immediately, without question, without hesitation, to say, yes, Lord. We're talking about people going on deputation to walk away. I've heard some people, well, this guy's not doing it right. But everybody is giving up whatever life they have to go to a place to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a time when the Lord got a hold of me. At first, I used to pray, and God, whatever you need to do, God, whatever you need to do to me, through me, do. And it took me a while to get to that prayer because it's a scary prayer. Everybody's got the thought that you're going to be called to the deepest, darkest heart of the world, and it's going to be terrifying. And yeah, you might be. Okay. Christ died.
Amen.
And so you're called. And, you know, you think about the world, well, I need to go to college to do this so I can do this, so I can do that, so I can do that. Yeah, I guess you can focus on that in the world, but what's the priority of the world? People lose track that God is over everything, that God is in charge of the world. So I go to Harvard or MIT and I get some brilliant PhD. So what? God's still in charge of the world. Our thoughts, our lives should be given to God. When He calls us, we should respond. We're all called in a way to the thought of church planting, what church planting is about. We're every one of us. This isn't a matter of coming and listening to Pastor Crawford talk two or three times a week. This is a body that we have come together, and we love the body. You love being a part of one another. You adore the fact that you're together. You all have gifts that you give. You have compassions. You have helps. You have just all these things, and of course you want to share Christ with them. With the people out there. You want to see them. Don't you want them to be a part of this?
Yes.
Don't the people that you love, wouldn't you love them to be a part of this? And that's the same thing. I mean, you know, small churches or big churches, it doesn't matter. You want them in that because you love the body. Mr. Logan. Mr. Logan's going to be my IT guy. He always knows this. He's explained this to me. I don't think he understands the whole pay about service yet, but he wants to be part of, he wants to be the IT guy, and, you know, we'll be a big church, and then you can pay me. Well, you know, and he wants to help. He wants to do the thing. One of the things that breaks my heart is Sandy started singing a little Bible song for them on Wednesday nights. We've got me, we've got the three families, and we just can't do a children's ministry night now. And the little kids, Logan and Kara, are memorizing that song. They've never been to a Sunday school. They've never sat in a Sunday school class. And, oh, it's killing me. And, you know, I'm trying to think of a way. Well, I could do this, but you can't do that. And you want to see that build. You want to see that grow in the same way you guys want to see. Brother Jesse's got a youth department. I wouldn't bet you he wouldn't mind seeing 750 kids in the youth department. Not because he's looking for this huge empire, but to see people come in and work and interact and love one another. And we're here in church. We're not out there. And the beauty is that we're here. We picked here. We came here, not out there, to come together and love because we got the holy word of God here. And we got the love of the Lord that we can share with one another. Verse 11, and so the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. I love the fact that the street's called Straight. There is never a time when answering the Lord's prayer, answering the Lord's call is anything but straight and true. There is never a time, if you do what God tells you to do, you are wrong. Never, ever, ever. You cannot be wrong. Paul ended up with his head being chopped off. Peter was crucified upside down. Stephen was stoned and Christ was crucified. But every one of them these men did the right thing.
Amen.
They did the right thing. Amen. In this world, we look at, you know, financial success and worldly success and, you know, well, I am the CEO of XYZ Corporation. Yeah. I don't care that Steve Jobs made an iPhone. He died and went to hell if he didn't change his position. But when you go and you do what God has called you to, when you do what the Lord has asked you to do, that is the most important thing. That is the best thing. In America, I always worry about America. You look at home missions, and we're drifting as the world goes. And that the call of the preacher, the thought of the pastor, has not what it used to be. It's not where it was. You know, in the 1800s, it was the preacher man would come into the room. It would be something. There was a time in the late 1850s of the degreed professions. There was the third hardest was doctor, the second hardest was law, and the single most difficult one was the doctor of theology. The fact that was the studied man. You were a man of prominence. We are not in that spot anymore. Most of the time, especially as an independent fundamental Baptist, we're a joke. We're a side thought. We're dismissed of what we are, but who cares what the world thinks about us? Because God has called us that. Now you looked here, God has called him to a specific place. God put us in Boise. We were able to witness to Casey. Amen. You guys were able to witness to Casey. Amen. Because we were there, because God placed us there. I don't know why. I don't know why God moved me from Fort Worth, Texas, all the way up to Boise, Idaho. Why didn't God call Judas here? Saul's at Judas's house. Yeah. Why not Judas? Why does this guy? And I don't know why God does that. I don't know why God will take one man here and place him here and another man there, but he may. He may move that person. He may. I remember the kids had to give up the dog. Now, that was it's not a big sacrifice. But there are guys who do all sorts of things. There are people who give up so much to answer what the Lord has called. And if you look at that verse, it says, "Behold, he prayeth." Saul has prayed. What if you're the answer to God's prayer? What if somebody is praying that they would like to see something, and you are the specific answer to their prayer, that God would like to send you somewhere? Amen. Would you go? Would you respond? What about the missionaries on the? What about the church planters on there? Now, you know, when you give those things, it's always, you know, it feels almost disconnected sometimes. At least it does for me, that you're just putting money in there. It's not really a connection to the people. But let me tell you, as the guy on the other end, it's a huge connection. It really does help. And, you know, you think about what you can do to help to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's all that church planting is. It's put a new body out there, a new life through Christ out there. And you see Paul praying, and he goes. And I might not be God's first response. There might have been other guys who went out there and fall. But I have went, and so I'm there. And I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to come. In verse 12, it says, he had seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand that he might see the Lord. The Lord completely tells Ananias what he is going to do. God is going to use him in such a way that will change the life of Saul. Now, what are church planters going to do? Can we change people's lives? We're supposed to. We may or may not. Now, when you get out there, it's a difficult thing. I guarantee you, I can tell you that right now. I was sitting there one day. As the Lowe's were sick, the Godez's were traveling. Sandy was ill. Ashley was sick, so Sandy had to stay home with Ashley. So it was me and Doyce. That's who's probably going to come, me and Doyce. I was a little discouraged. Just wanted to let you know, just a skosh, a little bit of, you're walking in there and it's just me and Doyce. I mean, that's you're looking at chairs. And there's been a couple of times like that. Every time I get that sort of feeling where, I'm just going home. I'm just going to go home. God has put someone up. I've had someone stop from Worth Baptist Church. We had a family from Singapore came and visit us and sang beautiful songs for us. And God's there. And for the fact that we do that and work that, you can't get discouraged in the fact what you see. I have. I mean, I've been driving home and there's a contemporary church. There are more guys in the parking lot helping traffic than we have on our roll. And, that'll make you feel great. But that's not what God's called us to do. I mean, I'm trying not to get, well, we got to do this because I'm trying to do the best I can for the Lord. God has called us to do things. You open the Word of God. Read the Word of God. See what God can do. Can God do those things? Of course He can. Then do the things God has asked you to do, and God will take care of it. And that's it. I really can't do anything. God's not sitting there with his hat in his hand. Oh, I hope Doyce does this tomorrow. God allows me to be in the ministry. God has blessed me to be in this position where He allows me to do these things, where God has blessed me that I can do these things. Robin was about to go back for surgery, and Miss Casey was there, and she said, well, we got to pray. Do I need to go get Brother Doyce? How do you think that makes you feel? That someone wants to come and get you when they're about to pray. Now, they don't need me to pray. I know that. I told them absolutely their prayer probably went purer and clearer than me because they were going through that. But you're sitting there, and just the enormity of what, you know, JSF was a half a trillion dollar project. I had one of the little sections. I did most of the design work, blah, 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 blah. And I can keep on going to the V-22. Who cares? There was a family that wanted me to go back to help them to talk to God. And that's what God has allowed me to do. And I can't get it that it's me. Sorry. Verse 13, and Ananias answered the Lord, said, I've heard many things of this man. How much evil hath he done by the saints of Jerusalem? Now, I love that question. It's, are you sure, Lord? No, and yeah, and of course, Boise, what? Yeah. Church planting, huh? Yeah. I don't know. No, that's okay. I'm fine with that, Lord. I don't want to do these things. I want a life of comfort and ease. Now, when I describe that, a lot of people think that's an island with a coconut, you know, and do. I just want to work 40 hours a week, get a decent raise, have a vacation with my family, retire after 20 years, have like 5 acres, have a little window, take the kids on vacation. That's the life I want. That's it. Nothing spectacular. That's my thought. But God hasn't called me to that. I walked away from engineering because God has called me to something different. And He's talking about here. He says, Lord, are you sure about these things? And there's going to be every answer in the world why you shouldn't do something. Of course you shouldn't give to missions. You can't afford it. Of course you shouldn't pray for the people you don't have times. Of course you shouldn't witness because that's uncomfortable. Of course you shouldn't do this. And there's going to be excuses always, every time, to do something for the Lord. There will always, always be an excuse. And it'll be a logical excuse, too. Do you know how odd it is to walk up somebody and witness to them? I mean, there's some guys that are real good at it. Yeah, you guys know me. I'm real bold, you know. I'm that guy. Hey, how you doing? But yeah, at school, man, I can't imagine you guys. See, and when I was a teenager, I was saved, but that's about it. You know, believe and I was still in the and part. You know, there's nothing. That's all I got. I couldn't imagine you guys witnessing, especially with the world today talking about Jesus Christ in the world we are today. That's an oddity. I couldn't imagine people looking at you going, what in the world are you guys talking about? I mean, I know I'm an old guy. I don't relate to that. But the fact that there's always an excuse, there's always a reason why you shouldn't do what God has asked you to do. But it's the greater thing to do that for the Lord. God's asked you to do something. God's asked you to do whatever it is, whether it's witness, whether or not it's to give, whether or not it's to go, whether or not it's to do those things. And you've got to think that Jesus Christ came on this world before the creation of the world and knew you, created you, and came and died specifically for you. A holy, infinite God sat from heaven itself and looked down and asked you to do something. It said, please, would you do this? Would you please go? You know, you think about Christ on the cross. You've accepted Him. You know that He's on the cross. You know, you think about the gospel. You think about getting to the gospel. It's not just an acknowledgement of sin, but you know that you're damned and not worthy of heaven. There's no way that a person can get to heaven. You cannot do it. But Jesus Christ, a holy God, came on this world and did everything that you had did evil and took it upon Himself and died so you could have fellowship with God. So that you could come and commune with Him. And when you accept the Lord as your Savior, you're selling yourself to Him. You give Him completely. He bought you. He paid for you. You are His. And He asks you to do something. You can go, well, I got that thing on Tuesday. I can't really. Sorry. That's not where we should be. That's not what we should do. And it's a hard thing, I know. You get the minutia of the world, it'll take you down. It will. Well, I'm tired. I got this. And I understand that, but we should never lose track of who God is, what God is, and who He is. He is talking to you. It's not the preacher yelling at you. It's not the missionary talking to you. It is God in heaven talking to you. This word of God was written to you. And Ananias says, "Are you sure, Lord?" In verse 14, he says, "Authority from the chief priest and bind that all that call his name. The power of the world." Don't ever worry about the world. I'm okay. There, I'm not worried about them all. If you go up to Idaho, a whole lot of people are bought into the big grand conspiracy stuff. Well, you know, all the maneuverings of the behind the scenes that's truly controlling the world. You know, God controls the world. Absolutely, without hesitation and equivocation. You know, I'm not worried about the secret evils of the world because the obvious evils are pretty blatant for me. You can turn TV going, well, that's evil. That's it, simple. You know, you can see Planned Parenthood and going, well, that's just wrong. I'm not worried about the secret maneuverings of this for the fact you see what's going on in the world. In the authority of the world, of course they're not going to acknowledge God. Of course Hollywood's going to be bad. I remember the big Supreme Court decision. There are, four Catholics, two Jews, and I forgot the other guy. There's no independent fundamental Baptist up on that's going to be arguing for the righteousness of Jesus Christ on the Supreme Court. You're not going to see within the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, whatever party, that, you know what we need is a good sanctification by Jesus Christ. They're not going to do that. We're not in that world. We're not in that America anymore. We're not there. I know it's sad. I know, and I hate that, but we're not there. You look at Paul. Paul was a Roman citizen. Roman citizen, by definition, could vote. He could actually run for office. He could have been part of the political process. Be smart. Be a good steward. But know that you're a child of God. First and foremost, above everything. And that's what God... So don't worry about the world out there. In the office complex around me, no one really wants to talk to me. I mean, they sort of, oh, hi. How you doing? You know, because I'm the church guy. You know, and there's like the backfoot dance. I don't know if you've ever seen the backfoot dance. So the backfoot dance is... Oh, hi. You know, and immediately they start walking back away from me because they always think that I'm going to be churchy on them. You know, well, let me just tell you, are you going to die today? And I try to talk to them, but none of them, you know, it's hi. And you meet Mormons out there. Mormons are pretty easy. The young guys, I haven't really bumped into any of those, and that's an endeavor into itself, the guys with doing the service. Most of the Mormons you meet out there are polite, and they'll say thank you, and that's it. And that's all they're done. Some of them will disregard you, will ignore you after they find out. We've met some people in our neighborhood that are real sweet, and all of a sudden they find, oh, church planning, okay. And that's it, and we're done. So, you know, it was good. Sammy's talked to several people, and, oh, we started a church. Oh, really? Yeah, Baptist church? Oh, okay. And you know, that's what it is. But don't worry about it. The world's not saved. God hasn't remade it. We're not going to fix the world. Christ has to come back to fix the world. And he's talking about this. So don't worry about this. I've called you to do these things. Verse 15, it says, but the Lord said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Saul is going to be a vessel to the Gentiles, to the king, to the children of Israel. Saul's going to do these things. Now, there's some people in this world that wouldn't go because it's Saul, not Ananias. Whoa, wait. I'm going to go over for him? No, that's okay. This is my show. This is my world. I'm wearing the Deutsch shirt right now. I've got to, you know, and that's where we're not out there trying to build our best life now. We're not trying to do that. We're not trying to set up who I am. I'm not trying to go out there and talk about how great I am. We're going out there for God, the purpose of the Lord. We're to put Him first. Soul winning is not about me. I can't get you saved. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what you're doing. You know, the glorification of God through soul winning is there. You're going to talk about the glory of God. More than just a ticket to heaven, you're telling someone that there's a beautiful God who died there for him. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I love that verse. In this world, man, there is so many little cut and pasted little, you know, be strong. You know, I love sports commercials. Now, I'm not beating up on sports. Don't think I'm going to beat up on sports because, you know, I'm not. But I love sports commercials. Sports commercials are almost the epitome of what worship is. You pick up a Gatorade commercial, these guys will give themselves to the sport on the commercial. You know, the guy's up in the early, he's running, he's dog. You know, this is the game, this is the day. Ugh! And the entire life is given to what that is. That's what we're to do to God. To give everything ourselves to the Lord. Everything else is just periphery. That's what we do. That's there was one of them said, this is what Sunday's about. I forgot I went, no, it's not, Chief. Not in any way, shape, or form. This is what Sunday's about. This is what God has called us to do. Church planting is one of those things where you're trying to rid the world of yourself. It's not about building something for me. It's about building a body of Christ, of bringing people together to worship and serve the Lord, not become some weird cult of personality. You can find those, all of that. I'm not looking to become that man. Look, it's Brother Walton. Ooh, and I want to write books. Well, I've been reading Brother Walton. I don't want to do that. I want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. I want you to buy books about Jesus Christ because that's who I want to be about. Verse 16, for I show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. For I will show him. God will do these things. God will work in Saul. The church planter is there simply to let God work. The great things within the church that happens within church planting are simply the Lord moving. Ananias is there to the purpose that he will do something for the Lord's sake. The church is about the Lord. There was a lady who was asking me, well, what kind of youth program do you have? Well, you know, I was telling Brother Jesse, man, I love my youth department. Man, I adore my youth department. I probably love my youth department more than any other youth pastor. My youth department, please stand. Stand, youth. Yes. So there's my youth department. I love my, you know, I'm going to pay for my youth department to go to college. Y'all top that. But she was looking for, well, what's my kid going to do? You know, and I understand this. I really do understand what they're talking about. I understand that. But, you know, it's not about those things. It's about the Lord. Verse 17, it says, and Ananias went his way and entered in the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou hast come has sent me, and thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So what does Ananias do? He does what the Lord has prompted him to do. He enters into a house that is not his own, speaks to a man who he has heard has nothing but animosity and hatred for him, and he shares the words of the Lord with this man. That is exactly what a church planter does. He goes to in a place that is not his home, talk to his people that are neither his friends or his family, and share with them the word of God. That is what he is called to do. That is what he is meant to do. He goes there. There are many desires in my heart that may swirl and that things will happen, but it is obedience to God that carries me there. In verse 19, it says, and shows you God's actions. 18, it says, and immediately there fell from his eyes, as had been scales, he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. So Ananias has done what the Lord asked him to do. And what happened? God moves. Saul's sight's returned. He's baptized. And what's the consequences? What does Apostle Paul do? Well, the New Testament's ripe with it. What happens with Ananias? We don't know. But he was there. He obeyed the Lord. The best thing that can happen as me as a church planter is to see God move. Do you know what it was like when Rob said, well, you know, we've been baptized before, but, you know, we didn't really, you know, would you mind if we did? I mean, it's not too much trouble if we do it as a family, do you? No, I'm okay with that. I can get that. And he asked me, and he wants to be the whole family, the mom and the dad rebaptized, and the kids baptized. And just that's just an amazing thing to see the Lord work, to allow me to do that. Yeah. It's you want to see God move. Boise is a great place. It really is. It's a beautiful place. You can do lots of exercise. You can do all those things, but the thought that the word of God should creep through their shoes, should seep through that thing. It's just something that burns me. You walk through places, and I know you've done that. I know you've been in your place of employment, where you've worked, and you've gone, just looking around people, and are they saved? And what do you do? I mean, there's a part of me that just wants to be the insane guy and jump up on the desk and start screaming. I never have. I don't have the guts. I don't even know if that's the right way. But you look at people. You know, watch traffic. See all the folks going by. God died for each one of those people. And God's called us to do these things. Not just the church planner. The people that support him. He's called that. The people that pray. Pray. Oh my goodness. Pray. Really pray. Don't say I will pray for you. Pray. Take it. You, when you have the opportunity to pray for someone, that you get to enter in the throne room of God and present a petition before an omnipotent being to do something for somebody. That you're walking up there in front of a holy and righteous being, say, Lord, would you allow this thing to happen? So when you are to pray, pray. Really pray for these people. For the encouragement, for these things. You know, at the beginning of this thing, I thought, why go? Why do you go? At some point in my life, I am going to die. Now, between now and then, maybe I didn't answer the call. Maybe I was stuck in engineering. I had a professional life. It all worked out well. The kids went to college, had great grandkids. You know, I went on vacations, and everything turned out just perfect. Nothing went wrong. But I'm still going to die. And at some point, I'm going to stand before a holy, righteous God. And I'm going to know at some point that I'm going to told him that I told him no. That I looked in his face and went, you know, no. No, sorry, didn't rank high enough. I had more important things to do. I'm not the best church planner in the world. I know I'm not. I wish I was. Man, I wish I was one of those guys you would read in Deutch is running 3 million up in Boise and in a new revival. I want to be that guy. I want God to move. I understand that I have limitations, but God has allowed me to do that in the same way God has asked you to do things. You know, if all of a sudden you're thinking, man, I should give more. God's talking to you right then. That is the Holy Spirit within you, talking to you right then. That is God, the creator of the universe, talking to you. And you got to know these things. You got to do these things. And you ask why I go, just simply because we want to be obedient to God, because we love the Lord our Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing me. I thank you so much for allowing me to be here. Oh, please stand. I thank you so much for the blessings and the privilege to allow me to preach here, Lord. I ask you to be with us. I'm about to turn it over to Pastor Crawford. And thank you for allowing me to be here, Lord.